Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, welcome back to another episode of the City on a Hill podcast. My name is Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And we are, well, we're talking about some news, I think. What are we talking about, Scott?
One of the things that we're talking about all the time is how do disciples of Jesus interact with the public sphere? And this is one of the ways that we interact is by what we consume and the news that we consume. And it's harder than ever to get real news. It's harder than ever to trust what you hear or see or read. And the variety of things that you can read and consume is amazing. And we ran this, you know, the last few things we've done have been on vaccines, and the range of news items on masks and vaccines have been just amazing to me. There's no way in one lifetime that one person could consume all of it. But anyway, that's some of it. Is the whole what makes real news and what makes not real news is one thing that we ought to talk about. But I'm just going to say, I even have a problem with this. So just came out today that, I don't remember, several months ago, the cops in Washington, D.C. disrupted a George Floyd protest so the president could go to St. John's Church and get a photo op with the Bible. You may remember that incident.
Oh, I remember.
Anyway, it came out today that they didn't disrupt that protest for the sake of the photo op. And that was sort of the official statement of the Department of Interior, I think. And instead, they did it so that they could continue to work on a fence. But the news that I heard back then was, here is, you know, the hypocrisy of President Trump, who just bullies these people on his way to get a picture holding a Bible. That's all I heard. I was sure that's what it was. And here comes out after some investigation, that's not what it was. But that just goes to show that I didn't get this the true story from my news articles. And that stressed me out this morning, you know. And then I would say, too, on the other hand, there were other news articles that I didn't consume about that very thing that said, look at our president, you know, who honors and cherishes the Bible. And he holds it up with this sort of awkward picture that you probably recognize, too. And that wasn't maybe the whole story either. And it occurred to me that with this very event that kind of came to light this morning, you've got news reporting it at two completely different angles. And it's a simple thing. It's a dumb thing. It's mm-hmm. not even real news. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's really stressful about it. It's not even real news. But it was so hard to discern what really happened mm-hmm. that now it's, I don't know, 6 months or no, it's more than 6 months. It's probably 9 months to a year after. And it's just now coming out what a little more what happened. So anyway, I think it's worth us talking about news and, you know, how do you tell real news from false news and where are we, how do we handle this? So, mm-hmm. yeah. So the other thing that happened for me this morning was that I get this newsletter that claims it's the most wisdom per word of any newsletter on the internet.
Big if true, folks.
Yes, and actually, as far as what I've read, it's pretty close. Actually, it's a really good description. But this comes from James Clear, who said, he said, most people don't want accurate information. They want validating information. Mm. And that, I think, is really telling about what value news has for us. We're all looking for the for validation of previous experiences and opinions. And that is the real hard thing about news, is I like it when it validates mm-hmm. what I believe, but that's not necessarily what I should be looking for in news.
Mm. And that points to this thing you just described, the story from last year. Either side of that story, and even that we're talking about sides is silly. That's not even the right way to think about that. But the two possible ways of looking at that story were validating ways of doing that. If
because it wasn't even real news, but right. Yes, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, if we're clearing out a street, ah, that validates my assumption about this president. He's a bully.
Mm-hmm.
The other side is, oh, look, the president held a Bible in front of a church. That validates what I think about the president.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the Bible or whatever it is people mm-hmm. assumed when he did that. Those are validating things. Those are not gaining of information that help you make decisions about the world around you. Mm-hmm. Those just validate your posture towards.
And the funny thing is, I mean, that particular news item, I think that was all there was on either mm-hmm. either way of looking at it. So it wasn't real news.
Mm-hmm.
But when there is real news, I do think that it can come out that same way. And I think if you just look for headlines or the way that they talk about
mm-hmm.
things, it will tip you off about are they writing this to validate something,
right,
or to report something.
Right, right.
And you can see that pretty easily.
Yes. And I think one of the big reasons I wanted to do this podcast at all is to help disciple people in politics. We talked about this a while ago, and it became obvious to me that the world, the church, people in the church are being discipled to think about politics by institutions that are not the church. And that's concerning. And a lot of those discipling institutions are usually news outlets. And the way you, especially if you uncritically intake news, intake media at all, that will disciple you towards a particular posture, towards a particular way of thinking, towards a particular way of supporting or fighting for, or whatever angle you want to use. And if that stuff is not informed by coming from Scripture, you're being discipled by things that don't care about the kingdom of God. And that's why we're talking about news today. And that's the higher level thinking about this. It's not just, hey, get good sources and get good reporters and blah, blah, blah. You want to make sure that you have good facts. It's so much more than that. Realize you're giving yourself over to some degree to discipleship by someone else or by something else or by some other institution.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, discipleship at its root is learning. To be a mm-hmm. disciple is to be a learner. Mm-hmm. That's what the Greek word for disciple means. And so as you're learning things, you're learning them being discipled in one direction or another.
Mm-hmm.
And how does this affect the kingdom of heaven would be a really great question to ask if that's right. The kind of disciple you want to be.
Right. So I think the first... I got steps here, and this is something I think about a lot, and we can walk through these. But my hope is that it'd be helpful for you listeners as you're thinking, how do I want to engage news? How am I going to get my news? How should I think about these things? I think these are some good steps. The first thing I have written down here is read widely to understand your neighbor, to pursue wisdom, and to think wisely about good policies. And I think widely here is key. If I just go, I got one place I'm going to get my news, and we just talked about validating, it's probably going to be a place that validates you if you just have one. That's going to make it harder for you to understand what your neighbor thinks across the street because they probably don't agree with you. And if your goal is to love your neighbor, it's going to help to understand mm-hmm. how they're thinking, what they're thinking, what they might care about. So in order to do that, read widely. And I'm going to say read a lot because I'm more for reading than I am for watching.
Well, you know, let me just say a little word about the neighbors too. One of the ways you know if you're doing this, I think, is if the other position, the opposition, you might even say, is characterized in a positive or at worst neutral way. Because if they're the enemy to be defeated, or they're the ridiculous people here, and you've got neighbors that are that way, then what you're saying about read to love your neighbors or consume news in a way to help understand your neighbors, you're essentially characterizing your neighbors as ridiculous people.
Right.
And that is, I think that would is a really uncharitable way to be thinking about the world and thinking about your neighbors. So I'm glad you said that.
That's a really good point. That a lot of, I'm even hesitant to say the word news because a lot of it's commentary. It's not necessarily news, but a lot of commentary is charged and pushes us to thinking in a polarized us versus them way. And if the world is just broken up into us versus them, my neighbor might, may or may not be on the them side, and now I need to demonize them. They're on the opposing team. They are the enemy, and good luck. You still have to love your enemies, so you need to figure this out.
Well, you just raised a question, and maybe I'm hoping you have an answer to it. But what's the difference between news and commentary? How would I discern the difference?
Qualitatively, so I read the I get the paper, like the actual in my hand paper.
What's it made of?
What's it made of? It's made of paper. Brilliant.
Okay.
Cheap pulp. And the front of that paper is the news section. In the back, it actually says opinion, or it says commentary, or something along those lines. And the news, the way it's written, tends to be pretty boring. It's not exactly entertaining. It's not exactly exciting. And news is, here reporters go out, they're going to figure out what is actually happening on the ground and write a story to help people understand, here's what happened. And commentary is, we're aware of what happened, or we assumed what happened, and now I'm going to tell you how you ought to think about these things. News doesn't necessarily tell you how you ought to think about these things. It just tells you what the things are, and commentary tells you how you ought to think about these things. And if you're reading commentary or listening to commentary or watching commentary, the way that language is positioned is more persuasive. You're going to put more pathos into commentary than you would into news. And they, again, back to the discipleship kind of stuff, a commentary's job is to get you to think like them. If they get you to think like they think, that's a win. They have convinced you onto their side. Whereas news, I should be able to read, the light on Fifth Street is out. Great. Now, commentary on that may be, our government is so broken because, again, the light on Fifth Street is out, and they are so incompetent that they're not able to keep this maintained in such a way that Fifth Street remains a safe way for traffic to flow. Those are two very different things, and one gets me fired up, and the other one just tells me what's going on and doesn't tell me necessarily how to think about it.
Okay, thank you for that. I would probably add that anymore, a lot of news includes commentary.
Oh, guaranteed.
If not 100% of the news that we read.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't merely just there's a street light out on Fifth Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty local.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be that Citizen Coalition opposes the mayor because the mayor can't get the light on in Fifth Street.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden there's a motive, there's conflict when there's simply a light out on Fifth Street.
Mm-hmm.
So that that's that explanation about why it happened,
right,
is unless somebody actually knows, it's really a commentary.
Right.
And for the most part they won't know.
And that takes some savvy, I don't want to say just savvy, as if you better have this skill or you'll never be able to read news. It takes some work. It takes some practice. But reading those headlines and going, I can see the direction that this is leaning, and that's fine. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a partisan lean. It's just a preferred policy lean or a preferred outcome lean. We all have preferred outcomes, and even the people writing the news, that's, I don't think there's anything necessarily bad about that. It's just something you need to be aware of because it's a direction people want you to go. And if you just uncritically take that stuff in, it's gonna change the way you think. So we talked about understanding your neighbor, pursuing wisdom, thinking wisely about good politics or policies, any of it, actually. Let's just include everything. I think there is a good end to engaging news. The purpose of reading news is not just entertainment. It's not just, it's not a fun hobby. That we want to act well in this world, and politics is how the cities operate. Politics are how the states operate. And if I want to know how to interact in my city, state, or nation in a way that is effective, in a way that's helpful, I should know these things. I should know what's going on. I should be informed. And I think news is the way of doing that.
Well, I would agree. It's just hard to get.
It's just hard to get.
And it's hard to know if what you're getting, this is the biggest problem. I mean, for mm-hmm. me, is can I trust this mm-hmm. to be news, or is this just spinning the news for me? And even
sure.
after this morning, I have a harder time. I just have to admit, some of the stuff that I didn't think was spun was spun. So there you go.
Yeah. So I think where should I start? I think the best place to start is with local. If you are one of the lucky cities to still have a local paper, if you've been tracking how the news industry has been changing in the last 20, 25 years, everything used to be local. Tip O'Neill was a Speaker of the House a long time ago. He had a book even titled All Politics is Local. And man, I kind of wish it was still that way, because, and we've talked about this in other episodes, the things that you can be most effective in, or the things where you have most influence, is your local stuff. The things that matters most to your everyday life is your local stuff. So engaging, understanding the news about your localities, that's great, because it's actually your neighbors. It's actually your school board. It's actually your city council. It's actually what's happening with the store down the street. Those things actually affect you on a day-to-day basis. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of local papers anymore. They've all been changed into conglomerates, or now we have some of the big papers that just go everywhere instead of local papers. We luckily have a local paper here. We got a lot of the smaller towns around our area have local papers. And I would say, if you have one, subscribe to that thing.
Support them.
Support that thing. Will they be leaning one way or another? Most definitely. They're people that have opinions, and they have ideas, and they think a certain way, but they're going to tell you what's going on with your school, and they're going to tell you what's going on with the parking on the street across from yours. This is literally stuff I've read in my local paper. Mm-hmm. So I would start there and place a lot of emphasis there. A lot of people will start at the top, because that's where your TV shows are going to be going. That's where the big papers go. It's all the national stuff. It's DC. It's what's happening in New York or DC. That's kind of the big focus, because those are big focuses in our country. And if you focus on that, it's going to be to the detriment of the things that you can actually do something about.
Just a little bit of history on this. One of my favorite books, in fact, one I think every single person who's listening to the podcast would do well to read, is called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business. And one of the observations that he makes he doesn't just say news is local, but he gives a little bit of historical perspective. It used to be that news traveled only as fast as a human being could carry it. So if you had if there was a battle and your army was victorious, there would be somebody on a horse, you know, galloping back to the capital or back to the town to tell the wives that we were victorious or whatever. And the news traveled as fast as that person. And then you have a telegraph that you can now, you know, tap out a code that sends a message from one place to another virtually instantaneously over wires. And now what happens in New York all of a sudden is the business of people in Chicago. And they don't have the context for New York. Mm. They don't have the interest in New York, the vested interest in New York, but they get bombarded with information about New York. Mm. And that that changed. I don't know how long ago would that have been? Maybe a couple, not even a couple hundred years ago. And in human history, all of human history, it's relatively new that we get news that travels faster than a human being.
Right.
And now that it does, we're overwhelmed with information, and it's really, really hard to pick out of that information what is important, and very little of it is actionable. And so that's part of his argument. I'll probably mention more of it later, because I just think it's really thoughtful.
And you mentioned that the news of, say, New York becomes the becomes the business of Chicago. It's not actually the business of Chicago. It becomes like the preoccupation of Chicago.
Right.
And if I'm preoccupied with the news of New York, what am I not preoccupied with? The news of Chicago. And even more so if I'm in a small town like West Lynn. If I'm spending all of my time focusing on D.C. or New York, I'm not focusing on West Lynn. And that's to the detriment of West Lynn or wherever city you are, listener. Another thing, and this is just an example of this, if you're into the news at all, if you're a news junkie, say, you are more likely to know something about a freshman congressman in D.C. than you are to know about something that the school board did last week. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that the fact that you know names of congressmen that aren't even in your state, and you probably don't know the names of the people on your school board, let's flip those. Just as far as what you actually have influence in, I just shouldn't know that level about something that far away when the things that affect me most are right across the street, and I might not know about those.
So just a little flashback to our voting episode. You mentioned school board. We just had a school board election here. What was the difference in that school board race that you were involved in?
Oh, yes. That's fun. That race.
This is news. I'm telling you right
news,
here.
This is news, guys. We don't know when this is coming out, so it's definitely not news. That race was won by 36 votes.
There you go. That's the closest vote I've ever been part of in all of my years of voting. And that's what he's talking about. When he's talking about school board, I mean, that election is going to make a difference in the future of Westland schools. And we were part of it. You were a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes, pay attention to that.
So I got the next thing on here. It just says pay for news. And I don't know who's cringing right now or who just flinched. This is a phrase that comes out of... I think I heard it from tech or Facebook or social media, just those as infrastructure type things. If you're not paying for it, you are the product. And usually think about that in terms of, say, Facebook. You've never paid for Facebook. The product of Facebook is not Facebook. The product of Facebook is ads that are using Facebook as a platform. And when you are a user of Facebook for free, your eyeballs can be sold to advertisers. So if you're not paying for Facebook, you are probably the product in that situation. I think it's the same for news. Think about the way you intake news. If you're not paying for that intake, their business model is probably organized around you staying connected to that outlet so that they can sell your eyeballs, your attention to advertisers. I suppose there's good ways to do that. There's probably foolish ways to do that. But at very least, I want you to be aware of that. If you're not paying for it, their business model is going to be set up in such a way to keep you watching. So I would encourage, and we just talked about local papers going away. It's because people didn't pay for them. So now they're gone. If there's some good news, good reporting being done, or good commentary, good virtuous, good reasoning commentary, or news, pay for it. It's worth paying for.
Well, let's just develop that idea a little bit more. So you are the product, which means if what they're trying to do is not give you the clearest perspective on the news, which most places aren't.
Sure.
If that's not what they're trying to do, they're trying to do something else. And they're trying to do something that enables them to make a living. And that means they're going to try and get you to read or watch their thing, mm-hmm. which the very, if you just say it that way, they're trying to get you to watch their thing. What that means is they've got to write a headline that is more interesting than something that is just factual.
Because factual is boring.
Factual is boring. So they've got to juice up the headline. They've got to make it sensational. They've got to sensationalize it or catastrophize it or do something that makes that headline clickbait. That's what they're doing. They're baiting you to click their news thing, because if they don't, their business model doesn't work.
Right.
And so what you have then is you have essentially commentary built into the headline that's going to get you fired up, and that's the point of it. And that's the hard thing. When I said it's hard to figure out what news to read and how to get it, it's because it's even in the headline you don't know what you're going to get, mm-hmm. because they're trying to compete for your attention.
Right.
Now the other thing about that is that's changed pretty recently too, that it used to be that it didn't matter so much. You had some gatekeepers, and ABC and CBS and NBC were competing for which news will you watch? Will mm-hmm. it be, you know, Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather or somebody? And you have to figure out, okay, where am I going to get the news that I watch? Now, how many news sources are there? I don't know if anybody can count them.
Right.
And so since there isn't just a finite amount that can present something maybe better than the other two or whatever, now you've got a gazillion competing for the same, you know, attention. Mm-hmm. And of course they're going to write the most aggressive or sensational headline and report it in such a way that they will keep you engaged with it. And so there's I think what you were starting to say is there's more manipulation going on than we realize, and that is new. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's new in my lifetime.
Right.
And you know, for several of these reasons it's new in my lifetime, and that I think is that's a big thing, and one that most people don't recognize.
And I was just reminded when you mentioned ABC, CBS, NBC. Back then, several decades ago, those were the main places to get news on TV. There's obviously paper, ways to read, radio, things like that. But even in that situation, the amount of time that the news had on that station was limited. It was, I don't know what, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock news maybe, 10 o'clock news or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a limited amount of time, so you put all the news in there, and you don't have to fill very much time. You fill the most important stuff in mm-hmm. there. And now, I would venture to guess if you watch any news on TV, you're probably watching a channel dedicated to news. So they're doing news 24 hours a day. Has the intensity of the news changed since the 60s? Probably not. But our need to fill that much time has increased because we've dedicated a whole channel to it. So how do I keep people's eyeballs on these TVs?
Well, I would say with more intensities. I'd say yes, the intensities change. Is there more news now than there was?
Yeah.
The amount of news is
similar. That's a better way to say it. Yeah.
But the intensity has increased, and that's the point. That's the point, is that it feels more intense. Mm-hmm. And it feels more intense because that's the way you get people staying with you. Mm-hmm. So yes, the intensity it has changed, but the amount of real news probably hasn't.
This is just funny. I think I was watching, I turned on some TV, not, it was streaming from my computer, but whatever, you all could have seen it on TV during the election. I turned on the TV to watch some of the stuff going on. I did most of it on my computer, but I watched some TV stuff, and it was exhausting to watch news. It felt like every 5 seconds there was breaking news, and it would be this intense music and this just in, da-da-dun, da-da-dun, da-da-dun. Like, no, we just had breaking news 2 minutes ago. There's no possible way that something that warrants being titled breaking news has happened in 2 minutes. But yet, that's how it was, and it had my heart rate elevated, my blood pressure was up. But also, I don't want to miss the next thing. Am I going to miss something? Oh no, I better stay tuned to this. So I don't do that often, but there's a little, when not being in it that much, sitting in it for 5 seconds was, oh man, this is detrimental to my health.
Well, and I do think that when you have a lot of news intake, it is a stressful, anxiety producing experience. Mm-hmm. And some people are willing to sit for that. I'm not, and it just I just don't have the capacity to be that anxious.
Right.
And so that's just, I guess that's my one of my warnings, is that, you know, I want people to be anxious for nothing.
There you go.
And but with everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, you know, let the request be made known to God. And so I don't have the capacity for anxiety like that. But
well, and back to our discipleship piece, that will disciple you a specific way. If that's constantly breaking news, boom, 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 please be anxious about this. Mm-hmm. Please be fearful about this. In so many words, that's discipling you towards
fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
Fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
And which if something is pointing you toward fear and anxiety, is that pointing you where Jesus wants you to go? That might
short answer, no.
That might be one of the things that you want to think about. But
yeah. So another thing that's the tone we just talked about. Another thing to think about would be the angle. We talked about everyone has an opinion, everyone has a lean. And let me just say that's fine. That's okay. There's not really a big gotcha when you go to some other site that leans differently than you and go, hey, they have a lean, I just figured it out. So did your mm-hmm. so did your preferred news thing. But it's something to be aware of. We've said it already, they want you to have a particular opinion about this set of events. They want you to have a particular posture about this particular policy or particular way of engaging the world. And just be aware that news organization wants to disciple you a specific direction. And if you take it in uncritically, unthinkingly, it will do that. It will bend you. But if you can read or listen or watch and know that, then you can start analyzing and go, oh, this is anxiety and fear. I don't need to take this. Or maybe you go, you know what? This isn't helpful for me. I don't need this at all.
Yeah. And when you're talking about an angle, I mean, here's my angle. Okay. King Jesus is on the throne. It's going to be okay.
Amen.
Now I can listen to a lot of news and, you know, if that's my angle and nothing shakes me from that, it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when someone gets me off the rocker, like we must win this election or else, or we must mm-hmm. have this policy or else, or if this bill passes, we're doomed, or those kind of things, those are all angles that pull me away from King Jesus on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And he is sovereign over this, and I can trust him with it. And if they pull me away to some other fear-based thing instead of praying, instead of mm-hmm. whatever else it is. So there's my angle, and I'm not much for reporting the news, I suppose, but it would be kind of interesting if it all came from there.
Well, and if the angle is against that angle, the angle that Jesus is on the throne, that's something you need to be aware of and mitigate against. If you constantly are giving intake, if you're constantly receiving intake that is not at all under the assumption that Jesus is on the throne, it's going to mess with your head. It's going to mess with your discipleship. It's going to mess with you following Jesus.
It's going to make it harder for you to believe that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It makes it harder for you to believe Jesus on the throne. And that's some of the struggle that we're having, you know, now mm-hmm. and have had for this past year is there's a pandemic. It's really hard to believe Jesus on the throne. Mm-hmm. And he is.
Yep.
And he can make it go in, easy peasy if mm-hmm. he wanted, but mm-hmm. it's still with us. So there you go.
Yeah.
So, Eric, what do you do for your news intake here? Put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot. I have a fair amount of news intake because this stuff is interesting to me. And because I want to engage well in the city, Scott mentioned I helped with a race. I want to be involved, and I don't just want to sit and talk about it. I want to do some things, and that requires knowing about what's going on. So I do a fair amount. So you can take any of this if you want, and you can ignore it, or you can write some of this stuff down. But before I give a list, if you're thinking, okay, what should I be reading? What should I be listening to? Who should I allow to disciple me in my thinking? The first thing I want to say is you need to be reading your Bible and you need to be committed to your local church. If I'm thinking about how should I be thinking about the city, you need to be discipled by your community. You need to be discipled by Jesus. And anything short of that is going to be insufficient. And that needs to be the start before you engage anything else. So I hope that's not trite. I'm serious about that. And you are not going to be a good engager of your city or your state or your nation, frankly, if you are not allowing yourself to be discipled by your local church.
And you just don't want to assume that.
Right.
So thank you for saying
that. Definitely
don't
want to assume that. Secondly, there's lots of social media out there. And I'm on Twitter. That's fun. Is it a good well for getting news? No. I'm also on Facebook. Is that a good well for getting news? No. It's very good for hot takes. And there's some funny stuff that can happen there. But if I'm using that as the main way I get news, it's high commentary, low news.
Sometimes. So there is a place where I get news on Twitter. For instance, I'm on my way to church on Tuesday, and I'm diverted by a policeman. Mm-hmm. And I look up the street, and there's a car upside down. And I'm thinking, what happened? Why is there a car upside down in the street up in front of me? As I turn and go, and the only place I could figure, okay, where am I going to find anything out about that? It's on Twitter. And because the Westland Police Department will put up, mm-hmm. you know, road blocked. Mm-hmm. And then they put up something a couple hours later. It said, road's clear. Thanks for your patience. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things you can find.
Sure.
But probably Twitter's the place. Facebook, not so much on that.
Right.
Those are more.
And that's because gripes. You were following local things. You had the Twitter account for local police department, local mm-hmm. city council, local whatever. Yeah. My guess is that most people aren't populating their list of people that are on Twitter with those type of things. And if you are, great, you can get quick news.
Quick news is it's a really good place for that. But for slow news.
Right. And all that to say, just don't default there. Right. Where are you getting what's going on in the world? You can sprinkle some social media in there, but don't let mm-hmm. that be the main reservoir for how you get those things. So now to the real list. I have a list in my mind. Again, local paper. So I have the Westland Tidings. I have a subscription to the paper, the real paper Westland Tidings. It shows up in my mailbox once a week. And that's what I learned where I learn what's going on with schools and with the city. And
I haven't gone to look at it yet today. Came today for me. Whether they have an article in there about that car that was upside down and tell me who was involved or mm-hmm. you know help me know a little more about it, that might be one mm-hmm. of the things I look for there when I go home. So yeah,
definitely. I also get the Wall Street Journal. So if you're aware of the spectrum of things, that's the national paper that is a little bit right-leaning. Frankly, I would get the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, but I don't have that much money and those are expensive. So I get the Wall Street Journal on a daily basis and read that. And there's news in the front and there's commentary in the back. Does it lean a little bit? Of course. Am I aware of that? Of course. I also subscribe to the Dispatch. Again, I've paid for all these things, so be aware of that. The Dispatch is a national thing that news also has commentary, but I find a lot of their stuff helpful in how to think about things well. A lot of their commentators, I think we've mentioned David French on this podcast before. He has helped me think well about how to engage the world I think he does a lot of biblical ways of doing that. And I get that stuff from the Dispatch.
So what you're saying then is that the dispatch is commentary, but mm-hmm. you know that it's commentary. So the fact that you know it's commentary distinguishes it from news. And I think that that's one of the things that is really important for us to acknowledge. I mean, we started off this podcast talking about how you consume news. It's not wrong to consume commentary, but you just need to know it's commentary.
Right.
I think what the problem is, and the thing that has prompted us to talk about it, is that we get commentary under the guise of news.
Right.
And we have a really hard time telling, is this really what's happening, or is this somebody's take on it or spin on it or opinion about it? And the two blur together. And so as long as you know that it's commentary, it's okay to consume it, mm-hmm. provided that that commentary helps you understand the world, mm-hmm. helps you see things more maybe from God's perspective or whatever. But you do need to be able to separate, at least, you know, think about whether it's commentary, whether it's news.
Right. Again, just don't do things uncritically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd add the, on the paper side, I'd add the Oregonian. I don't pay for that, but for some reason it shows up to my door every Sunday. So I get one of those a week and I check that out. And that's where I'm going to get some of that state level stuff, mm-hmm. which I care about. So I have this, I have the city level stuff.
And the funny papers.
And the funny papers. I just get Calvin and Hobbes hardbound. That's what I have at my house. Okay. So you have the state, the city level, the state level, the national level. So going away from the reading side on the daily, I listen to plenty of podcasts. I'll just share a few just to give a smattering. OPB Politics, I listen to. That's Oregon level politics because I'd like to hear what's going on there. I care about that stuff. I'm interested in that stuff. And also NPR, and that's national generally. And I listen to The Briefing as well, another commentary piece by Al Mohler, and then The Dispatch has several different podcasts I listen to. Again, commentary. And you'll note, if you know how the spectrum of partisan type things or political type things lean, those are things on either side. So I'm aware that I am going to have things from one particular direction. So I try to get things from either side so that I can think and listen and hear, how are other people talking about this? How are other people thinking about this thing? Because I don't just want to sit in a silo and never hear what other my neighbors are thinking about these things. So that's the podcast side. I subscribe to two magazines, The Atlantic and National Review. Those are long form type magazines that will engage issues in a long article type of way. They're going to have a sustained argument, researched argument, thoughtful argument, and those are going to be on either side of an issue as well. And that takes some investment. I got to sit down. I'm going to read this article. It's not going to be 5 minutes. It's probably going to be 25 minutes. But I'm going to have someone walk me through what they think about a particular thing. And whether I agree with them or not, that's going to be really helpful because those are not just passionate people, but thoughtful people, deep thinking people trying to figure these things out. If I have to watch something, I'll probably turn on C-SPAN, which is, if you've ever stumbled upon C-SPAN, you know it's not the exciting channel on cable. It's the channel that has literal just cameras sitting at Congress or just cameras sitting at that press briefing or something. And that's just the news. It goes straight in. That's not commentary. That's just what the guy said, what the gal said, what the speech was on the floor.
A real snoozer. In
a real, potentially. That's what I was watching on January 6th. Nothing snoozer about that.
Okay.
But I wanted to know what was going on. So I turned on C-SPAN and I got the cameras that were in the building. And I could literally watch the news happen. I've done that with Supreme Court judicial nomination hearings, mm-hmm. things like that. I don't just want to watch the commentary on that. I want to see these people answer those questions and see how those questions were asked and all that kind of stuff. So that's the literal news before it's been given commentary. And then finally, I would add, if I want to know how to think about a particular policy or a particular posture, I read a lot of books about those things rather than just getting the hot take or reading the short synopsis of an article in the paper. If I need to know how to engage the world, how should I think about economics? How should I think about immigration? How should I think about welfare, other things, all these different policy ideas? I need to be reading books about those. I'm not going to get the best way to think about those things by reading the paper. I need more than that. And if you're trying to figure those things out, read some books. Don't just go for the shorter stuff. So that's my list.
Well, good. Yeah. Have you read any good books about those things?
I'd say, and write this down, folks, if you haven't read this one, I'd say one I would recommend immediately would be The Dignity Revolution by Dan Darling. It's not about a particular policy, the whole book, but each chapter goes through many different policies, immigration, adoption, abortion, all these different things, but all through the lens of, before we even consider what the policy on this should be, we need to remember that people are made in the image of God, and mm-hmm. they have dignity because they are reflections of their Creator. And before you come up with policies, you need to assume that first. And if that doesn't inform your policies, start over. So that's a really, really great book. Do you have any, Scott?
Well, yeah, there's one that I read earlier this year that I really enjoyed by Carl Truman called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, which he attempts to explain the essentially the rise of the sexual revolution and why it has gained ascendancy with all of its accompanying pressures and then, you know, policy debates that have to do with sexuality. And yeah, the philosophical underpinnings of all that was really fascinating. So I really like that book.
Well, there's a couple book recommendations and a whole list of what I do for news. If you have really any questions about any of this stuff, we have an email address. You can email us at podcast@newlifeandw.com. You can give us your recommendations for books or say, hey, why don't you talk about this? Whatever questions you have, we would love to hear your input. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing really helpful, you can write a review. We have a couple reviews. I saw one, I think the last one said, timely and helpful. And that's the kind of stuff we want to see. We want to be timely. We want to be helpful. We want to help people be discipled in the right direction. If you're finding that this is helpful in that regard, share it with a friend. And we're going to look forward to the next conversation. You don't have to talk so loud. It's just going off the charts. So,
do you want to do it again?
No, I think you're fine.
I thought you were telling me to be louder.
No, no.
You were like.
No, I was saying give more distance.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to go. So we had a little communication problem.
It's all good.